Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Friends, welcome to episode 40 of Clinton Baptiste's Paranormal Bloody Podcast. Oh, thank you for joining us, friends. You know, it goes on and on and on, this thing, never ending. With me, to my left, hands off, is Linda Pollock. Please say hello, Linda.
Hello, I'm back again. You wanted it, now you're going to get it.
Now you are going to bloody well get it. Linda, what have you been doing?
What have I been doing?
In the previous week.
You know, ages ago, I was going for like loads of interviews and stuff and trying all different kinds of things from, I tried a little bit of marketing.
Go on, yes.
Right, so one of them was a marketing job, right? And I thought, oh, I'm good at, I've got the gift of the gab, I can sell stuff.
Go
right?
on,
I
yes.
I came up with a pitch. I didn't get the job, but afterwards they were very nice about me and said, I think you'd be a great fit, please don't be put off coming back to us in the future.
Right.
If there's another job going.
Well, I'm amazed that you didn't get the job.
I didn't get the job, but it looks like one of us got what they wanted.
In what way?
I saw the campaign that I'd outlined last week. And I was watching TV and there it was.
Your own campaign?
Yeah.
And it does look very, very strange.
Yeah.
Go on, what is the... What, am I allowed to know what the thing is?
Or well, it was
are
just,
we allowed to give the game
it was just
away?
An idea, and I don't... You know, it's a very murky business. And I don't... I particularly want... I want to move on, really.
You've seen the idea where?
Yeah. So I was watching TV, and something came up, and it was quite obvious that it was my idea, same organisation, using the same person I suggested as the spokesperson.
You're joking.
Yeah, it was absolutely spot on.
Do you want to say that now, or is it going to be libelous if you start saying that out loud?
I'm saying it, and I'm being very vague, because... It turns out loads of people have had that experience. I was talking to some friends of mine who work in marketing and they say it's a well-known thing.
Bullshit.
That you'll go in and pitch.
Yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, but it's not like loads of people have had that experience that you reported and they've nicked that experience.
Well, no, what it is they've had the experience, not necessarily at that particular place, which I'm not going to mention for obvious reasons, but that sometimes they'll go to, if you're going to marketing...
Yes, and they'll nick it.
They'll say, what do you think about this? What would you do?
Yes.
And they'll go, you're not a great fit.
Right.
But then they'll use your idea. And what can you do about it? Because at that point, I had nothing. So I couldn't say, I've got an idea, but I'm not going to tell you.
I am going to tell you something now, and this is really quite dangerous. I have had two huge, huge ideas, and I'm going to say it now, stolen off me. And I'm that close to telling you what they are.
Yeah.
One of them you know about.
Right.
Which featured, it's a very, very famous sketch, series of sketches, was then used as an advertising campaign for a well-known beer.
Bastards!
Which I wrote, and it got taken to the BBC, and then it got taken over to an independent channel, and then I see it on television, performed by some very well-known, a comedy duo, and then I knew who had nicked it off me, because I had shown him the sketch, and it, to this day, is a very, very famous sketch. And it makes my... piss boil every time I see it, right? It's on the front cover of their CDs.
What?
These characters, I wrote that. And I've even had a sort of half an apology from the bloke who wrote it. And I'll tell you all about that in a minute when we're off air. Off air, that sounds very grand, doesn't it? when I've turned off my laptop.
When we press stop.
We press stop in my converted garage. And the other one is... The other one is, and I've got to take my hat off to David Tennant, TV's Doctor Who.
Oh, I like him. Please don't tell me he's a villain.
No, no, he's lovely. He rented a room with Arabella Weir.
Oh, yeah.
You know Arabella from The Fast Show. And I used to live around that way, and she lived virtually over the road from me. And I used to go over there occasionally, and David was there. And I got to know him when he was nobody, it's in the early 90s, and when Kelly McGuinness was still lovely. And I went over there, and I said, "What are you up to, David?" And he told me he was doing a sitcom, right? And this sitcom, he described to me, and I went, "You are?" And it was exactly what I had pitched to someone that had ended up. And do you know what he did? He's such a nice bloke. He gave me the scripts. Now, absolutely not allowed to give me scripts. And I took them away and photocopied them. And I had some legal representation. And do you know what happened? Of course, I just went, no, it's entirely a coincidence. But even to this day, I'm still convinced. There are lines I wrote which are virtually lifted off this thing. So be warned, anyone who's doing anything like that.
Be careful with your ideas, because your genius is your intellectual property.
Absolutely. God, it's gone very serious.
I feel like a right mug. I don't know. Here's the thing, though. I'm wondering whether anyone ever got the job, or whether it's just their way of harvesting ideas.
Oh, yeah, possibly. Possibly. We've gone very, very serious. Let's get back to the cock, ball, tit, shit, bollocks,
piss. Yeah, let's have a laugh now.
Knobs, poos, and all the rest of it. Go to our first item. Have we finished with that?
Yeah.
I think we've probably finished with that now. Let us go to this incredible story from Take a Break, Fate and Fortune, driven out by a black magic curse.
Oh, I used to like them chocolates. Do you remember?
I do. Get on with it.
Opening the front door, I felt my 2-year-old daughter, Christy, freeze. "I don't like it here," she whispered. "Don't worry, it's lovely," I reassured her, leading her into the bungalow. But truth be told, I was trying not to frighten Christy, because the place was giving me the creeps too.
It was Christmas 2007, and my husband John and I had taken Christy and our older daughter Georgie, then 8, needless detail, to view the 2-bed modern bungalow in the middle of a wood in Essex. Well, straight away, you know what's going to happen.
The surroundings should have been idyllic, but even walking through the trees on the way to the property, I'd felt uneasy. Something about the woods felt oppressive, heavy. And inside the bungalow, the atmosphere was even worse.
"Do you know what? I'm on edge.
I've been spiritual all my life and know something in the bungalow did not want us there."
But 6 months earlier, we'd returned to the UK after living in Cyprus. We needed somewhere inexpensive to live. The rent's really cheap and the bills are included, I tried to convince myself. So, ignoring my misgivings, I told the landlady we'd take it.
A week later, on New Year's Day 2008, we moved in. The first thing I did was go into every room, smudging dirty.
The energy seemed to lift, and for the first couple of weeks, everything was fine. The kids settled in, and I started to believe we could make the bungalow our home. But my doubts resurfaced when I made friends with the landlady's daughter, Sally, not her real name, who was also spiritual.
"Oh, darling," she told me.
"My darling, you moved into the bungalow. It's a little child head is missing, you know, Mother. I hope there's a comfort. Go on."
Actually, what Sally, not her real name, says, "I lived in the bungalow for a while," she confided one day. "I hated it. I felt as if something was always trying to attack me."
Ugh.
"That's not good," I shivered.
No, that's not good. Don't get too technical. After that, despite buying the girls a trampoline, Georgie refused to go into the garden. "I hate it," she kept insisting. Then one day, when I persuaded her to come out to the garden with me and Christy, I spotted a huge black shadow mass writhing behind the fence that divided the garden from the woods behind.
Frantically, I called on the angels and spirit guides to protect us. "Don't let it in," I prayed, ushering the girls into the house. A couple of nights later, John and I were watching TV in the living room when suddenly I spotted a figure in the hall walking from the girls' bedroom towards the bathroom. Must have needed a poo. It looked like Georgie, except it was made of white wispy smoke.
Don't say that. It's spooky! Must have needed a poo. Do me a favour. Christ almighty.
It wanted a white wispy smoke poo.
Come on.
It passed through the closed bathroom door. Leaping up, I went to check on Georgie. He was fast asleep. I couldn't suppress a shudder. It was some evil entity. stop it. With some evil entity pretending to be my daughter. The following morning, I was in the bathroom when I sensed I wasn't alone.
Oh, God, it's all bathroom stuff, this. Bloody hell.
Catching movement in the corner of my eye, I gasped as the towel was yanked off the rail and thrown onto the floor. My nieces say that happens, but I just think they're lazy cats.
They're lazy. So she was in the bathroom. Hold on. Then my eyes were drawn to the mirror above the sink. Staring back at me from the glass was an evil-looking man with black shoulder-length hair. He raised one of his wrists.
Oh, trigger warning.
And here we go. And started hacking at it with a large hunting knife. Bloody hell. My stomach churned with horror. Please get him away from me, I begged my spirit guide. But that night, I had a dream about the man. He was in the woods at night, the trees illuminated by the flickering light of dozens of candles. Picking up a stick, he drew a five-pointed star, a pentagram, yes, we know that, into the earth. Then he placed stones and bones inside it. He was preparing to hold a black magic ceremony.
You are a very sexy man.
I woke with a jolt. No wonder his energy felt so evil. The man used to carry out satanic rituals. I psychically sensed that back in the 1600s, this is what she's psychically sensing, making up.
Yeah.
He lived in a gypsy wagon in the woods.
Don't say gypsy, racist.
He practiced his rituals in the very place on which our bungalow now stood.
No matter how I tried to spiritually cleanse the place, nothing worked. All the spirits of the bungalow, including the landlady's dad, tried to protect us, but they were no match for this evil phantom. Then Christy started waking up in the middle of the night, running into our bedroom. The man, she'd gasp between terrified sobs. Up until then, not wanting to freak John out, I'd kept the sinister happenings to myself. Eh?
What? A slasher in the mirror.
Just
and
a
you
minute.
Don't tell your partner.
She's had a vision of someone preparing bones, doing a black magic ceremony. She's seen a man with shoulder-length black hair, like Ian McShane in... What was that called, that thing?
Deadwood.
Can't you get rid of it, John shuddered. What a bastard. What a useless husband. Can't you get rid of it, John shuddered when I told him what had been going on. I tried to, but he's just too strong, I replied.
A few days later, we were about to head out to visit family when I realised I'd forgotten my keys, dozy mare. I nipped back to my house to retrieve them from my dressing table. But standing at the bedroom door, I saw it in my third eye. The black, swirling mass I'd seen on the other side of the garden fence.
I'm having sex at the moment.
Praying for protection, I opened the door. My heart thudded as I raced across the room, grabbed my keys, and then ran out of the house. I hate it here. I want to move, I told John. And he agreed with me. He's useless, John. He agreed with me. Yeah, go on.
A short while later, Georgie had a friend round to play. They went into the woods to collect leaves.
Oh, that sounds like a fun afternoon.
Very Enid Blyton. After around 20 minutes, Georgie burst into the house carrying something huge and dirty cream-coloured. Oh, my God. Look what I found, she said. I think it's a bone. The hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. I sensed the bone, which looked as if it belonged to a horse, had been used during one of the evil man's black magic sacrifices.
Put it back where you found it, I told Georgie, trying to sound calmer than I felt. I started getting visions of this evil man carrying out his terrible ceremonies, holding chalices of blood. He was trying to get into my head. Soon, I was having panic attacks, struggling to function. One day, walking down the high street in a nearby town, I stumbled across a spiritual shop. The owner took one look at my grey, troubled face. "You've come to the right place," she told me gently. She handed me some bogey stones, rocks with hailing, and charged me a f***ing fortune for them, along with some panpipe CDs and some other shit from those places.
It was like the witchy version of Holland and Barrett.
Yeah. So they got grounding properties. As I sat holding them, I felt at peace for the first time in months.
I joined the shop owner's spiritual circle to learn how to protect myself and my family with the help of her expensive products. Thankfully, in August, after being in the bungalow 8 months, we found another property and moved out. Oh, that's that sorted then.
Yeah.
Now I work as a spiritual healer, therapist and tarot reader and often help others going through similar torment at the hands of dark entities. How do you help them? By telling them to move out?
Presumably you point them in the direction of this woman's expensive shop in some trendy middle-class area like Berkhamsted or something. I now know the dark side is real. The evil man will never be cleared from the woods because he's too powerful. We had a very lucky escape. And what an anticlimax.
Undermined by a picture underneath all this bullshit of their daughters bouncing happily on the trampoline.
I think for the next series, we need to find a slightly better publication, don't you? My question is, have you ever moved into a place? Have you lived in a place that you, and I know you're a poo-pooer, has there been a place where you've had a bad feeling, haven't enjoyed living, gradually got used to?
Yes, I used to live in a student accommodation a long, long time ago. And I was in what used to be the front parlour. That was my bedroom.
Yes.
And my wardrobe was against the old front door. That didn't feel right. Also, I was next to a cellar.
Right.
None of us ever went into. But it just felt weird sleeping over a cellar.
Okay. And did anything happen? Was any spooky stuff?
No, but once I was so drunk in one of the first weeks at university that I couldn't make it up the stairs. So right. I stood on what was the big old bay window and was very violently sick out the top of the window.
Oh, God.
And I was wearing just pants.
When... Just thinking about that for a second. When I was a student in Leicester, yes, I did actually go to college. Yeah. We live with a blogger, and I won't say his name. You know, living with students, he was the... It's really reminding me. God, he was filthy. He would eat his dinner and wipe his hands on the curtain as he was
walking. No! No!
Mostly chips, greasy stuff. And I'd go, excuse me, do you mind? He said, what? I said, don't do that to bloody curtains.
In the place in which you live.
It was disgusting. And then he did a poo out the window one day. And and to this day, and I won't tell you the address, there is a mark on the wall, I promise you. It was like a sort of bay window out the front. I don't know why. What a bloody idiot. Oh, it was horrible, that flat.
I was being pragmatic. I could not get up the stairs in time. There was no other way around it. It was going to have to go out the window or downstairs. Whereas this lad, you have to move yourself into quite a situation in order to do a poo out of the window.
And do you know, the funny thing is, nowadays, I see him and he writes on a discussion board for Radio 4. And I think, don't give me all this intellectual bollocks. I remember the day you came in, got the top of my shaver, the plastic, you know, see-through thing. And I said, what have you done with it? And he was naked in my room. I said, what have you done with it? Nothing. I said, what have you taken? What have you taken? You've taken something. You've taken the top of my razor. He went, no. And she turned around, it was probably his bum cheeks open. I can never use that ever again. So if you're out there, TS, God. You know who you are with your fancy Radio 4 talk, you dirty bastard. That is...
Wow, whereabouts in the country is he based?
Appropriately enough, Brown Hills in Birmingham.
No.
Well, he was.
Mr. Eskids.
Mr. Eskids Brownhills. Yeah. That's where he is. That's why I can't have a shave now. Because like, anyway, that was
what
him.
What did he do that?
Oh, you know what kids are like japes. At that age, japes. And it was all hilarious. His bum. Anyway, so kids, if you go away to university or anywhere like that...
You'll be living with animals.
You will.
And if
you will,
not, you're the animal.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not someone else, it's probably you. Now, let's speak... Well, Christmas is in the air. Let's speak to Jared Christmas. Jared Christmas is with me here. He's a man who does believe in the supernatural, the spiritual, and he even said to me just now, oh, well, how long have you got? Because this is not going to be a quickie. Strap in, guys, because we've got a story now, and he's looking at me, eyebrows raised.
Yeah, I'm ready.
He's got something. In the studio, Linda, put on the spooky music. Jared, please.
So this happened when I was about 12 years old.
Right.
And I'd never had any... I was desperate to have a ghost encounter.
Right,
desperate.
Okay, yeah.
And my parents had converted the garage into a...
That's how they'd be converted to sort of Seventh-day Adventists or something. Converted the garage, yes.
Converted the garage, yeah. A little bit easier than converting your life to religion.
Yeah.
So it was a bedroom outside, and so I had that, right.
Is this in Oz or something?
In New Zealand,
New Zealand, yeah.
We'll leave that slide.
Sorry, apologies for that. I meant New Zealand.
And it was middle of summer, and I was sound asleep, and I had my door open slightly because it was a warm night.
Right.
So the door to my bedroom was open slightly.
Right.
And
yeah.
I heard the sound, and I was wide awake. It's pitch black.
Right.
And I hear this sort of wail. like a wailing sound.
This is the bedroom outside, leading to the outside.
Yeah. And so I was suddenly like, oh my God, this is a ghost. Finally, this is a ghost.
Right.
Great. And I wasn't scared.
Yeah.
I was excited.
Right.
I was like, brilliant.
Just remind me how old you were.
12.
12, right.
So I think I'm going to get a chance to chat to someone who's dead. This is amazing.
Right, fantastic.
And we're in a suburb area, right? So it's not as if we're in the countryside or anything like that. But I'm on high alert.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting up in bed, and I'm thinking, did I imagine it?
Yeah.
And then I hear it again. I'm like, oh my God, I've got to find out what this is. And I go outside, I hear it again. It's coming from sort of the front of the front garden.
Right, yeah.
And so I was like, here we go. This is going to be amazing, right?
Okay.
And I keep hearing it, this wailing sound. It's about 3 a.m, right?
Right.
On a midweek.
Not a fox, nothing like that.
Mate, I get out the front.
Yeah.
And I can see, I've located it to like this tree, big tree.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, of course, you know, this tree's really ancient. You know, God knows what went on down there.
Right.
And as I get to the tree, I hear it again. And it was two cats f***ing. And I was so, so disappointed. And I have been disappointed.
As disappointed as me.
Mate, I know. What you're feeling right now, I've lived with this.
God.
I have lived with this. I'm now 44.
Right.
That's 32 years, and I've not had an encounter, and I am angry, and I'm frustrated, and I'm starting to take it personal.
Right.
That the spiritual
Let
world
me tell you that. Let me
is
tell
not
you,
coming
first
at me.
Of all, I see a lot of spirits. There's one right on your shoulder now.
Really?
Yeah. Can we talk it? F*** off. Very rude. But this where we are tonight, York, as you pointed out to me just now, is a very, very haunted place. I recently did a documentary up here with the Paranormal Investigations York.
Right.
And I know for a fact there's a lot of ghosts here. What did you hear? There's something like 500?
500 confirmed. I read confirmed.
By who?
By ghost
Ghost people.
I thought the York branch would know. Are they like elite?
They are very much like that. Although I will confess, there was something recently about, I think it's called the Unknown Boy or something. And there was a ghost there, and it was seen very, very recently. An actual bicycle moving down the street. And there's even footage on it. I'll show you in a minute. I got in touch with Paranormal Research York, and the woman says to me, "I've never heard of it." Now I thought, she said there's might be a rival company
who might
have done. They might just shoved a bike and let it go for a bit.
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, this is the problem.
There are charlatans.
Of course, and the technology has got so good now that we can be fooled
very easily, can't we? Well, look, if anything happens tonight, Jared, will you please come back to me and just let me know that you saw something?
I mean, I have been in a theatre once it's dark and they put the ghost light on.
Right.
And I have felt spooked out.
Right.
But I don't know whether that's because something's there or I'm so desperate
to see something.
For something to happen.
My advice is relax on it. And these things do come to you. They're picking up, you know, they want to be sucked in.
Yeah.
All right?
What? And I want to be sucked off. Is that inappropriate for this?
Well, I said there was some sort of reward for doing this. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's January Christmas. It was dirty, but it doesn't matter. Two cats f***ing and being sucked off. But I think you're probably around about 6 or 7 in the leaderboard with that.
Oh, really?
No more than that. Come on, then.
Wait, what's the highest rate? Who's got the number one spot?
Well, currently, I tell you, it's currently... Who I just spoke to, Jake Lambert, just told me, and he's got more. He's even going to come and do my show at the 100 Club, because he's got so many stories. Yeah.
Wow.
Really pretty good, and I'll play that to you later. Jared Christmas, it's been a disappointment, but never mind, another time.
That's my life, mate. That's my life.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We're gonna go to our favorite medium, Gordon Smith, the psychic barber, helps you understand the spirit world. Here, what about this? Should I give my ghost a Christmas present?
Remembering his approach to giving dear departed ones lunch at Christmas, I don't think he's gonna be pro present, do you?
Well, let's see what Gordon Smith says about this. It'd be such a killjoy. There's no actual spiritual stuff.
Should I give my ghost a Christmas present? I believe my house is haunted. There are lots of unexplained happenings, such as items getting moved, and sometimes I hear strange noises. Occasionally, I talk to my ghost. I feel we have a connection. I'd like to give them a present this Christmas, says Sean, 45, of Wolverhampton. Does this sound absolutely mad, or would the ghost appreciate a gift?
Well, funny enough, for once, Gordon has surpassed himself and actually shows some interest in the supernatural. He says, if the ghost is attached to the house, then this gesture would have no effect. But if you have a spirit close to you, then any symbolic acknowledgement would be appreciated, I'm sure.
Oh?
You know, I get a sense that this presence is connected to you. I feel that the spirit is watching over you and trying to guide you in a very nurturing way. So just say thanks and your words will be heard. What would you buy a ghost as, I mean, you know, no doubt the ghost, whatever you buy it, will say, oh, yeah, thank you very much. That's something, but I can see straight through them, literally. What do you think? What would you get a ghost? What can they wear? They can't wear clothes. You can't. We're going to get them a Terry's chocolate orange for Christmas.
It's very tricky, isn't it? Because I know they're often forgetting things. Maybe you get them one of them key rings that you can whistle for. Because they often sort of linger on stairs and stuff, don't they?
What about if you got a book?
What did I come down for?
How to pass over to the other side.
That would be handy.
Just leave it with them. Read that. Stop bugging me. Can he get off drugs? Oh, this is depressing.
I don't think this is a spiritual medium matter.
This is you know, Jane Wallace, who doesn't fuck about with her. She does not soft soap. This is what it is. I am a widow. After losing my husband 14 years ago, my grandson uses drugs and has been on them for 17 years. The family is desperate. We would love to see him get well. Apart from his drug problem, he's a nice person. We found it hard to get help, but I pray for rehab, even though I don't have much money. Hey, I'm so desperate for help. Can you help? Rose 75, London. The poor woman is so desperate. She's asking, what's her name? Jane Wallace in this magazine. Look at this. Ridiculous advice, but
right.
Go on.
This could actually be dangerous, this one.
This is dangerous.
Let's proceed with caution.
Okay.
He's not ready to help himself yet. Well,
how does she know that?
I would be inclined to agree.
She doesn't know that, does she?
He's been on him for 17 years, and she's the one talking about rehab. It's pointless, right? They've got to want it themselves.
Linda, once again, is giving this some proper thought. Thank you, Linda.
He's not ready to help himself yet. I feel he had a lot of trauma at the age of 12. There were major bullying issues. He felt he was not good enough and his issues stem from there. The problem is, he enjoys his addiction. He hasn't fallen far enough yet, but that time will come. He knows you and his mum adore him. His granddad, who is his rock, watches over him from above and is trying to help him in spirit.
OK, let's move on from that, because that's not a lot of fun, is it?
No.
Sorry, folks at home. Is it time to move on? This is Jane Wallace again. I've worked as a healthcare assistant for 7.5 years and was recently promoted to the team leader. Good for you. Things were going great until earlier this year when a new patient moved in. She has constantly made false allegations about me, leading to investigations. Bloody hell. Do you see things improving? Michelle, 39, Northumbria. I would contact your trade union. Yes. Never mind. Go on, look at this. Look.
Unfortunately, says Jane, not knowing anything specific about the
don't
situation.
Don't know anything about it.
This woman is a bully, but this is the push you need. You're surrounded by a lot of love from your family. You can soar.
Yeah.
Get some amethyst to help with mental strength and jasper for more structure in your life and to take control. I would also suggest, just me, maybe get yourself a new job first.
Why do you seek legal advice?
Yes. I can see a new job within 3 months, but, you know, you'll have your amethyst and jasper to
eat. To go back to eat. Yeah.
Still within the caring industry, but with more teaching and training. It's a job that you'll feel appreciated in and you will shine.
I think that's rotten advice.
Yeah, I do. Because it'll make you look guilty, I think, if you go.
Yeah, why don't she say, look, all amethyst and jasper aside, go speak to the union, get some legal representation. This one's made false allegations that have led to investigations.
Yes.
That sounds very bloody serious. Irresponsible!
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we think about that, Jane Wallace.
Oh,
no, sorry, wrong one. Just a minute. I'll tell you, we think this about it. Dreadful, Jane Wallace. Awful. Right, listen. Do you remember last week we had the stuff from Haunted Truth about snuff mills? I've got to tell you, they instructed me to go and have a look at another video they've got, which is called The Demon Poltergeist. And it takes place in a little bungalow in Bristol. And this is equally compelling stuff. Noises, footsteps in the attic. At one point, a little toy actually moves. You see all this stuff on their video. I believe it. I think it's true. And even you will believe it, Linda. Have a listen to this.
I discuss it with my sons and my husband and a few friends. But you wouldn't tell anyone, they wouldn't believe you anyway.
Sometimes just shut all the doors so they can hear it. But the dogs usually are indication they're barking like mad, so.
So I've been invited to a location where there's no profit involved for the people there or myself.
No one ain't gonna watch this. They should watch it, but they're not gonna watch it.
There's been footsteps downstairs and I've been in the bedroom. And I opened the door and there's no one there. No. No, it's freaky.
This isn't like, you know, the castle or the dungeons or anything like that. This is your everyday house.
But it's true though, Mr. Skeptic, they see your face and they don't want to watch it anymore.
The accusations and the stories of this place definitely put the hype and put you on edge. So someone just whistling casually downstairs and they're not whistling.
Whistling then, were you?
No, I can't even whistle.
And so, I spoke to them, Mark and Chris, at Haunted Truth. These two are the real deal. I've watched their videos, and I'll be honest with you, when I first found out about you two, I was reading Take a Break, Fate and Fortune, which I think does let the side down quite a lot. It's a supermarket magazine.
Yeah.
And how did they get hold of you, Take a Break, Fate and Fortune?
I think I contacted them after having clips and I thought to myself, well, this is free advertising. You know what I mean?
Indeed. Yeah.
And they also paid us. So it was free advertising and we got some money. Everything that was in the book, the story is all true. It was
right.
Like everything is true.
It's funny, It's funny you should say that, because I can tell you here and now that as a result of doing this interview, I will be giving you two the exclusive opportunity to purchase tickets to my tour, which will be coming up. So please, please do feel free to purchase those, and I'll be more than happy to say hello to you. Well, I won't, but I'll say hello.
That's so great.
Yeah, please, that's fine. Please feel free to buy those. Tell me about the Poltergeist one, which is an absolutely incredible, episode.
Before we go into that, we must stress that it isn't just us two in the team. We're as a team of five of us.
Right, together. Okay.
So there's Josh and Billy and Dan as well. But when this house come along, initially, me and Mark were allowed in that house.
Right.
And then later, Josh was allowed. We call it the Poltergeist House, or the demonic poltergeist, not because we necessarily believe that there's a demon or a poltergeist there.
Yeah.
It's because it's displaying what modern pop culture would call a poltergeist or a demon.
How did you find out about that house?
He was skeptical. The owners of the house knew that, and they knew us. So they let us in. They said what would happen. We went in there. We listened to the story.
Yeah.
We kind of joked around, a bit like you. We thought, come on, have it over.
Whatever. Got the pipes, having a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that. I'm just saying what some of my listeners and my co-hosts would say. The silly cow.
The stories that were coming from the house were like some out of a horror film. Yeah. They were claiming chairs were moving around in the house, and they were disappearing and reappearing in different locations. There were things being chucked around, moved around. They were being attacked by something they couldn't see, that kind of stuff. They were hearing noises everywhere. So we sort of spent two nights there, originally, me and Mark. Two whole full nights.
That's it.
The stuff we witnessed...
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't add up.
Not to what's normal. What physics says, anyway.
All right. The most compelling moment... A bit like the moving bell, a bit like, I know this wasn't your footage, the crucifix business. The most incredible thing that I nearly jumped out of my skin and thought, why have they let that go? Was that bloody thing moving, that toy that falls over in the loft.
Yeah, it's heady.
Just a second.
Yeah.
It's not even like somebody is shaking the floor. It's actually, you can almost see something pushing it over.
Yeah. So initially, I was recording up in the loft because he wanted to go down first.
Yeah.
I felt ill.
So he didn't feel too good. He was taunting a lot of the time up there. But the problem is it was dark up there, and people go, well, why didn't you see it fall over? Here's the issue. It's night vision, and the flap of the camera was closed. So you don't see nothing. I could hear things. I could hear something happening. But I didn't see it, so we look back on the footage.
Yeah, and that, I mean, when we initially seen it, I think, you know, that was a moment for me where I even go, this bleep is real.
This is real, yeah.
I was flabbergasted by it. The owners were kind enough for me to actually take the toy home with me because my brain was racking.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to test this in my own house.
I tried
testing it with low batteries, ball batteries. It's actually a toy that does dance.
Oh, so it does move.
It does move, but it's weighted on the bottom.
Right.
And I have not been able to try and sort of replicate the huge disbalance it does. It's kind of like trying to push a what are they called? Those warbles? You know, the warble. Imagine trying to push one of those over and it stay over. That's like this toy. It's weighted on the bottom.
See, we couldn't argue that with people, so we kind of had to go back there and experience it again. So we took Josh with us. It's called the Demonic Poltergeist. We called the episode. We didn't call that. They called it that.
Yeah,
that's what they wanted. The owners wanted to call that episode the Demonic Poltergeist. So it sounds a bit like that because we're like then claiming what it is, but we're not really.
Sounds a bit melodramatic, but it's true. It does seem that for people who don't want their house all over the internet, they're certainly keen to give it a top billing, aren't they? The Demonic Poltergeist.
Well, they don't claim, this is true, they don't claim no haunting themselves to anyone. They don't claim no money off of what they do. They don't want no money off. They don't even want to be known. They don't want the exposure. They don't want to be known at all.
I'm under non-disclosure, so I can't even say where.
I saw.
After they've seen it go onto YouTube and everyone's sort of like being very friendly and nice, and we sort of captivate a really good audience into watch it, and you know, even on our Discord, there's people very supporting what we do.
Yeah.
They have kind of lightened up a little bit, and they like the idea of, you know, letting people in slowly over time, you know, to have an experience. There is actually a video we've done called The Interview.
Living with a Poltergeist.
Yeah, it's on our YouTube channel, Living with a Poltergeist. We interview the owner, and you can watch it.
Right.
And you can hear what she says. You can hear everything she goes through. We ask her questions, and she explains everything.
Well, the biggest question to her must be, was that you whistling in the kitchen at the start?
We did think that.
I thought it was.
And she went, I can't even whistle. And I'm like,
she would say that, wouldn't she? I can't whistle.
But the weirdest whistle wasn't even that one. It was the one when I'm upstairs.
Yes, yes.
And he's gone, because you can hear the doors as he's coming through downstairs. So I know he's not downstairs. And then literally behind me on the banister, it went. And you know what? I was at a point where I was so tired and racked with everything that was going on. I think my reaction was, Chris, it just whistled again.
Yes.
Late when it was really,
it was like,
yeah, we were tired.
You were just at a point in your brain where it's like, you don't even conceptualize where you are or what's going on.
I honestly think, though, the most compelling is the demonic one where we went back with Josh, the demonic episode. That night left Josh ill. Like, he didn't even speak to us for days and days after. What he went through that night there changed him completely, because he was statically charged, wasn't he? And there was no reason for it. Like, his hair was standing up on end on his head. He had, like, huge amounts of static going off. He was even going under lights and they were turning on. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is scientifically possible.
Yeah, sometimes there's a real spark between me and my co-host, Linda, but that's just because of my fake hair and polyester jacket. Anyway, listen, I've got to tell you, I'm absolutely blown away by you two. What else have you got in the pipeline for us to see?
Coming up soon, we're going to Woodchester Mansion, hopefully. Fingers crossed it doesn't rain or there's no wind or there's no complications, but that is where we're heading, Woodchester Mansion.
Where is that?
It's in Gloucester.
There's a lot of ley lines down there in the southwest where you two are, aren't there?
Yeah. Although I don't know how much I believe on ley lines.
Where do you see this going? I mean, are the DSS on it? You going? Why don't you get a proper job?
So we wanted truth to come out, because you go on the internet and it's absolutely fatuated with fake and nonsense.
Yes,
let's be honest there, right? So we wanted something real to deliver. So we originally started out, let's just debunk everything.
It was meant to be the debunking show, and the whole purpose was, we're going to go to that place and I'm going to explain at the end of the videos, actually, I believe this is pipes. And then when I started seeing things that didn't seem to make any sense with the laws of physics, it's now a position of, okay, something is greater going on in this universe, whatever that thing might be.
Yes.
We're just exploring it and studying it and putting it out to people. And now it's up to the viewers to decide. So yourself, you could think one thing, but then someone else might think a different thing. That's entirely up to them.
I want to thank you very, very much, fellas. Best of luck with everything you're doing. Thank you. Please do come and see me. I'm going to be down in Bristol doing my show at some point, my new tour.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, well, tell your face then. All right, well, lots of love. Lots of love.
We're still shocked for even talking to you. So, you know, we're still like, what the hell is this?
Do you hear that, listeners? Do you hear that, listeners? That's great. All right, lots of love, fellas. Namaste.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, we've reached the end of episode 40. We've got two fantastic episodes coming up.
We've
not made them up yet. 41 and 42 will be just round the corner in the next couple of weeks. What are you going to be doing now, Linda, now you leave this place?
When I go away from this hallowed place, I will be begrudgingly thinking about Christmas and wondering what the hell I'm going to get for the people who have got everything and are ungrateful.
I do not need anything. Just some jasper and amethyst to solve my problems.
I didn't put you on the list, but good to know.
Okay, what would you like for Christmas?
Oh, God. A really nice sleep.
Oh, the poor thing. That's such an elderly thing to say, isn't it? What do you mean, a mono slipper or something like that? Yeah, that would do you.
I'll have a mono slipper and a sleep.
Do you know when people do? You know, I can't bear. I'm going to have a duvet day. Watch Harry Potter and a duvet day. Come on, you think the Germans are having a duvet day? Do the Japanese? No, they're not. They're grafting.
The Germans already got a proper word for it, haven't they?
Das Duvet.
Duvet.
Duvet. The Germans, they don't do such a thing. The Germans, they were too busy working.
They've got a word, and I can't remember what it is now, but the translation of it is brilliant. A word for the amount of weight you put on through comfort eating during periods of strife and or sadness. And it's called sadness bacon.
Really?
Yes.
Bloody hell. I think I do that. There's something I like. It's a nice bit of eating for comfort.
Yeah.
As I told you before, when I go on my tours, I often, you know, have a nice lot of food. And my mate Jim came to see me in Sheffield with his son, who plays for bloody Tottenham Hotspur. He's in the under-21s at Tottenham Hotspur. And they came to see me, and they were very excited to see the show, and they thought I'd be very, very nervous. They found me in this Italian restaurant eating a calzone that my mate Jim described as like a platform shoe that's tucking into this bloody thing. And his son, who's like a well-trained athlete, was like...
Just sinew.
He couldn't believe it. He's going, why are you having that now? He's about to go on stage. I said, I need a bit of comfort before I get on stage. I do like some comfort. What's the word
for... You've got nerves. Squash them with cheese.
Oh, God, it's so lovely. But you do need it. Then sometimes you get on stage, you feel a bit sluggish. That's the only thing.
Yeah, it's called something like sadness bacon. Look it up.
Sadness bacon. Yeah, I won't take any.
Oh, smeck, isn't it? That's what they call bacon. Schmeck. Yeah.
Schmecken.
So what's sad? Sardenschmeck.
Schnedenschmecken. But it's like my book, Clinton Baptiste Probes Our Souls, which came out last year. That has recently been translated into the German.
Oh, yeah.
So for Christmas, be sure to pick up a copy of Clinton Baptiste Spreiden Sie die Arsenschicken, which you will find in Waterstones and a number of good ones. Anyway, we're seeing me.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Goodbye until next time. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
My thanks obviously to Linda Pollock, also to Jared Christmas, to Chris and Mark from Haunted Truth, to Glow for this lovely play out music accompanied by Archie Levy. Listen, why don't you please come to see us at the 100 Club in London, Sunday the 28th of January and Sunday the 11th of February. It's a fantastic show, Clinton Baptiste Sunday Sales. Go to wegottickets.com and look for... I'm going to let you know. Look for Clinton Baptiste Sunday Seance.
Take it slow, take it slow. I'm your little bird. Don't go too far. When you build me up, I could touch the stars. Secrets are told, but I keep them safe.
And please don't forget, I'm going on tour. Why don't you come and see me? Roller Coaster, my first solo UK tour for 3 years all over the country. Go to clintonbaptiste.com/tour. Come and see me, for Christ's sake. Namaste.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You all right? Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.